Blog Talk Radio.
Deliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so as we get into great praise, the transfer of grace. And this should be part three. So go ahead and get some paper and a pen or a pencil, something to write with. And if you have any questions or comments at the end of the teaching tonight, we will open up the floor so that you can get those things resolved. Because my job here is to simply bring things into your hearing that would cause you to win. I'm not trying to be the smartest tool in the toolbox. I'm just simply a vessel, a mailman, if you would, to just carry the mail and deliver it to you. Now, what you do with the mail, that's up to you. I'm not here to condemn. I'm not here to glorify myself. I'm simply here as a submitted vessel that can be used of the Lord. So let's just go ahead and pray then and get into the word for today. Father, speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, that healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and take us into his presence, where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness, and may we stumble and slumber no more. May we walk in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. Sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory, because you made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, beloved, the things that we've been talking about and working on is how that the praise that God has called us to, chose us to operate in, that's what we would like to be able to do and to function in, to experience the glory that's necessary day by day. We all know that praise is a weapon, and that in the realm of the spirit, it's awesome. And a lot of times we don't use praise as a portal to get to the place that God has called us to. And I found that it's a guarantee that you cannot complain and murmur and have praise coming out of your lips at the same time. So, you know, we need to just get to the place where, because of his grace, that we begin to say, let the glory of God be seen. Let it be understood through us. Praise invokes the presence of God. We can see that in the Bible in multiple occasions, that they simply began to praise God, and God then showed up. And not only did he show up, he showed out. He did great things as they focused on him. Praise is a weapon, but it's not a secret weapon. We might know the effect of his presence that will happen on any given situation or circumstance, but we can be assured that he will always show up on our behalf. Not knowing the path is okay. If I have the presence, then everything that I need will be done by him for me through praise. I'm trying to give you a glimpse of how he wants to be that portal that we use, because we enter into his presence. We invoke his presence. I mean, you could know the word. There are people that do that know the word from Genesis to Revelation. They don't necessarily try to live it or apply it. They just want to be able to recall it, because there is a status to be gained by simply knowing the word more than other people. There is a status to be gained in that. And Jesus said those kind of people that function like that, they already have their reward. They sing praises to God to be seen of men. They're actually playing, if you would, to the wrong audience. See, I've purposed in my heart that it is very simply an audience of one. And if God has opened up an avenue whereby I can communicate, talk to him, hear from him, it will be better for me to have that audience of one than to have multitudes following me and I'm disconnected from the one that should be hearing me. Okay? The people, Jesus said that people that were in his day, they loved the praises of men rather than the praises of God. I mean, this has been a problem. This is where things got messed up for Satan. The most celebrated position that was available, he was the one that was doing that. He was the one that was the gatekeeper, if you would, of the praise that directly connected with God. I hope you heard that. I mean, there was a praise that directly connected with God. God is looking for that kind of praise in the earth today, because he wants to show up. He inhabits that kind of praise. So then I asked the question, since there is a praise that gets his attention, since there is a praise that causes him to show up and show out, the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says, run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards him. See, God's looking the whole earth over to find people that have this connection through praise, a praise A praise that he can live in, dwell in. It didn't say a praise that he can visit. See, he lives there. So then if we want to see God do what only God can do, if we want to see that in this generation, in this time, then we've got to learn how to connect through the avenues that he stated, set up, and allows us to participate in. And that avenue is praise. See? Praise is always preceded by a promise, either a promise made, a promise kept. So then if it's a promise that was made, that should excite me to go on to see what the end is going to be. It's a promise that was kept. Then that should generate praise and expectancy. See, when we see God do what God said he was going to do, then there should be a praise that's released, a thanksgiving and an offering that's released to him. And there should be an expectancy that this is just the beginning. God's the one that made us understand in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. He didn't say according to the power that's resident in us. I pay particular attention to the words and the phrases that God says because that takes me into more deposits of his glory. See? And more deposits of his power. I get entrance into that. See? The challenge that the world has is they don't have any connection and or visibility of what God is doing. I didn't say they didn't have a connection of what they wanted to happen. They got that. But they don't have a connection to what God is doing. They wonder and question, you know, what does that mean? But they don't, if you would, go back and investigate what was happening. See, I've learned not to read the Bible as a checklist, okay? I don't read it to know that God did that because it's a living word, okay? That God wants to have a transfer of his grace, a transfer of his power. So that if I'm just reading it for intellectual stimulus, then it's not going to be able to have a release or a transfer. See? The Bible says it this way. It says, you believe that there is one God and you do good. Devils also believe, but they don't get the reward. They tremble. See? Because God meant for the word to be worked in our lives so that we can enjoy his presence, the original intent that he had when he breathed into us the breath of life. See, these are some of the things that trouble me when I think about it. You have people that have glorified nature, and I get the construct of that. It's still in error because God said, I am a jealous God. I will have no other gods before me. And here we are making a God out of nature. Did God create nature? Yes, he did. But he didn't create it to be, well, this is a good fresh. He didn't create it to be worshipped. He created it to be useful. Okay? He gave us dominion over all the earth. Everything that's in the earth, he gave us dominion. He told us to be fruitful, multiply, subdue, replenish. See? But he never did tell us one time to worship that. See? So then when you hear people that try to approach God through that avenue of worshiping another thing, they don't want you... They don't want you to do anything to hurt the ecosystem, if you would. Get it out of balance. Well, God being omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, would he not know that we were going to do stupid stuff? even in the name of him, in the name of Jesus. People will begin prayers, and they will pray a tree, be it live tree or a cut-off tree. A stock of a tree is what they call it, the Bible calls it. See? And you have people that will do that. See? They will, come on, just to show it to you in a real everyday application, they look at the stars and the moon, and they worship the stars and the moon. Amen. They call it astrology. Amen. You will hear people asking the same old rhetorical, stupid, non-profitable questions. You know, what's your sign? So that they can enter into a relationship with you based on the thing they're worshiping. Come on, y'all, put the dots together. They're trying to enter into a relationship with you based on what you worship. It's all over. If people worship money, then they develop relationships based on what they worship. If you got people that continually want to party because that is the altar that they worship at, the party of entertainment, the altar of entertainment, escape and entertainment, which could include drugs. Because I'm still trying to escape. It's still a form of entertainment. See? And there are people that set that in motion. But God doesn't want you to worship there. That's not the place that he does not release impartations of grace because you are worshiping in the arena of nature instead of worshiping the one that made the nature. See? God is all up in it every way possible. Got no issue with that. But it was not there. It was not created for you to worship. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, all thy mind, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, there was no commandment given, instructions given, after you tried to worship something that was not created for worship. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He wasn't joking when he said that. But here we are trying to define him so that we can then worship at the altar of our understanding, have a relationship for this life at the altar of what we understand. Say what we love, what we worship. It has been said that some men on Sunday, football is their altar that they worship at. Whatever the sport is, we'll just do it that way. See, rather than coming to understand the one that created what you decided to worship. See, there are people that have entered into relationships because they like companionship. They have an altar built at the position where relationship works. And so they'll always try to be the life of the party, the one that pleases everybody. Come on, I mean, these are real issues, beloved. And we've got to get to the place where we say, you know, God, I'm going to do what you said, and I'm going to love you with all my heart. The way I understand all, that means there's nothing that's left out. All means all, and that's all it means. So that if I'm supposed to love, required to love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, there is no room for me to love nothing else, is it? See, I still can utilize what he gave me without having to have a ridiculous position of heart that says I worship that thing. I reach for that thing. This is what you can see and understand. What you love, you will worship. And what you worship is what you reach for first. I'm just trying to make it. You can write that one down. You can write that one down. What you love, you will worship. And what you worship will be what you reach for first. Okay? That's what you expect to get you through whatever the situation, over whatever the circumstances. That's what you reach for first. If you have been hurt and you say, well, the drugs make me feel better, that's what you reach for first. That's what you love. That's what you worship. See, I'm trying to take the spooky out of it and just give it to you straight so that you can understand it. Because we've made a religious understanding take us into places we're not supposed to be. See? We're supposed to be able to walk with God. Adam walked with God. And then he didn't walk with God only when he was in trouble. Okay, let's understand it. It says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. So that means he was not walking with God because he was in trouble. Okay? I mean, you know, just look at it. The way it's written is what he meant. Just because we didn't grasp that doesn't mean it's not true. So we go out and we try to make some other entity God. It could be people. It could be inanimate objects. It could be ideologies. See? The Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and if you're going to worship God, you're going to have to worship him in spirit. They that worship God must, M-U-S-T, absolute imperative, worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for those, searching for those. See? He can find you in a place where you might be confused, but he can then get you to the place where truth abides, and that'll turn the whole thing around. Now your worship becomes fruitful because you see what he did, and a thankful heart speaks, and then there's a transfer because of the praise that you are giving witness and testimony to releases grace into your life, into your situation. See? And the more we become accustomed to do this and practice this, the more grace we will have available for whatever the situation is. See, praise is always preceded by a promise made, a promise kept. Because without a promise, you don't have a prayer. If you do not release praise to receive answers, to receive reward, okay, then you didn't have a promise, because the promise is that my word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. It will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. See, the word that he gives you that is an honor and a praise to him, that word brings back to him the release that you are requesting for the things to get done. It'll come to the place where you can function in as Jesus knew. He said, your heavenly Father knows what things you desire before you ask. But he's looking for the motivation that caused you to ask. Were you motivated by fear, frustration, anxiety? Or were you motivated by thanksgiving? Honor. I mean, it's real. He's looking at the heart to know what that is. See? And when we get used to, accustomed to, of the mind to worship because we love him, then those things that he's wanting to bring to pass in your life, easy. That's what it says. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. And then because you delight yourself in the Lord, he will be able to give you, supply you with the thought, the desires of your heart. He was not just saying, if you do what he said, then he's going to reward you. That's not what he said. He said, if you delight yourself also in the Lord, then he will give you seed. Everything in the kingdom operates because of seed, time, and harvest. All right? Everything in the world, as long as the earth remains, there shall be seed, time, and harvest. Wow. Just let's flip over there, just so you can see some of these things. Genesis chapter 8. Wow, yeah, I hadn't thought about that from that perspective, but there it is. Genesis chapter 8. This promise was given because of an event that happened. And then after the event, their God gave Noah a promise. Okay? And then it was now Noah's job to understand, enter into that promise. Praise is always preceded by a promise. Okay? Again, I just told you that this event happened after the flood. And then verse 1, we'll pick it up and kind of run down to it. It says that God remembered Noah, and he remembered every living thing, and he remembered all the cattle that was with him in the ark. See, what prompts God to move in our behalf is that there is a testimony that's already affected. The testimony of that which was alive, those that were alive. There's a testimony there. See? So God remembered Noah and all the living stuff and all the cattle. I didn't see here that it said that God remembered Noah's deeds. See? He remembered the covenant that was established that had testimony that went back to God. He was pleased, got that. The avenue for reward is to please God. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek. Okay, yeah. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek. Why am I the one spared? I'm diligently seeking, aren't I? I'm looking this way, just kind of thinking, meditating this way. Noah was not coming to God because he was mad. It said in verse 1, God remembered Noah and that which was alive. So then, just so we can see it, since God looks at and moves because of that which is alive, then I got to ask the question, is my prayer life active and alive? Or am I still found to be praying for the same thing that I prayed for yesterday, and most of the time I spend praying, I'm complaining about where I'm at? Just some Selah moments there. Okay? It said, God remembered Noah and all of the living things. Because he say he knew that there was a challenge there, a breach there. So then God set up systems to restore faith and trust again. Noah found a dove and let the dove go for, he did it 7 days. And then the dove, because he didn't have, verse 9 says, the dove found no rest for her soul, and so she returned to the place where she knew there was a season of rest. Systems are in place. You could be going through the motions, and you go through the motions according to the will of God, and it might take 7 days for you to get to the place where your heart is now aligned correctly. Because you can tell that your heart is not aligned correctly because you never received an answer. Come on, y'all. You didn't find rest for the soles of your feet. There was no structure supporting you. It was just questions driving you. Do we live our lives that way? Are we supposed to live our lives that way? With questions driving us? because we don't have the place for find rest for the soles of our feet? What's driving you? And then he put his hand forth and put her in the ark. And he waited another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out. And the dove came to him in the evening. And now there's a difference in it. Because this time the dove came back with a olive leaf. And so then Noah got the information from the, okay, he got the information from an inspired point. What would make the dove take a leaf and bring the leaf back? What would make that be the reason? Because the dove was inspired to do that. And that inspiration then led Noah to the next phases of his life. Not the olive branch. You see what I'm saying? As soon as he saw that, he said, okay, now I know that the water is no longer up over the trees. And so he stayed for another 7 days. And he sent the dove forth, verse 12, which did not return to him anymore. I've already released the message, the inspired message, and now I'm going to go, I'm on my own, you on your own. He gave us the time when this happened, and he said the waters was the 600, came to pass on the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and lo, behold, the face of the ground was dry. See? He kept doing what he knew and looking for the advancement. He didn't just send the bird out expecting the bird to come back tired every time. I mean, we got to look at this. Do we have any expectation that what God promised he's going to do? Did we understand the promise? See? The ark was a place of safety, but God didn't want him to live in the ark. See, that was not his permanent home. That was the ark was necessary for him to pass over. See? A lot of stuff in this. Then he told him to go forth, and he gave him the same commandment that's in the atmosphere now to the ones that was supposed to do that. Listen to verse 17. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, all of the fish, both the fowl and cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, that they may be fruitful, that they may multiply upon the earth. The pause that God put in the progress is now becoming active again, isn't it? There has to be a transfer of the grace. And so we try to get things done in our time table, and we don't wait for the restoration that's necessary, that the pause made necessary. See, because then he comes back and says, okay, good. Have the business. Replenish. Multiply. And then Noah went forth, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives with him, and every beast that creepeth, every fowl that, and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth on all the earth after their kinds. And they went forth off the ark, and Noah built it an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and fowl that was clean, and he offered it as a burnt offering before the Lord, and the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said, see, without a promise, you don't have a prayer. Then he smelled the sweet savor and said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart was evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything, every living thing as I've done. And he says this, is your promise that gives you your prayer, that gives you your stability. A promise brings with it a prophetic word. For while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So then you have these people that are, you know, they're doing it based on an emotional response. But they are saying that we are going to, all the pollution that's here is going to stop the world from being. All of the things that we are neglecting is going to stop the earth from being. Well, let's see if that's what God said, if that's in his plan. He said, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Did he say, as long as the earth remains pure and in its original construction? Did he say that? No, he said, as long as the earth remains, there will be. That's an absolute imperative again, isn't it? There will be seed time and harvest. See? He, as soon as he saw a problem, he fixed the problem. And he fixed it permanently. It's not just something, you know, that he liked to think about. It's done. He says, if the earth is still here, don't worry about all the things that you did to mess it up, all the things that you experienced because it was messed up. He says, is the earth still here? Yes. Then he said, then there will always be, as long as the earth is here, there will always be seed time and harvest. There will always be cold and, okay, good. Come on, we're right. I'm just look at how it addresses the issues of the day. Did he say that the man's going to mess up the earth so bad that the ecosystem is all out of whack? There's not going to be cold anymore. There's going to be a permanent heat wave. And there's not going to be any fruit. I'm sorry, God says, if you could turn around and if you could see the earth, there will always be seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So then why are the people trying to convince us of the destruction that global warming is causing? Doesn't matter. As long as the earth remains. So then I don't have to spend my time trying to repent before the Lord. He did tell us that we're supposed to give the earth a rest. He did say that. We went past that long time ago. But it doesn't matter, because when you look at it, the earth yet does what? It yet remains. So then, since it does, I ain't got to worry about it. I will be able to plant my crop, enjoy my fruit. Doesn't make a difference what I think is happening, because I see it dying, yeah, but you don't choose to see the life. See? Just some things to again, find a way to deal honestly. You will find a way to experience victory. See? So if you don't have a promise, you don't have a prayer. Everything in the spirit, in the kingdom, and in the earth is maintained by the promise. So the promise is what we should be looking at. See? I'm not looking at the condition. I'm looking at the promise. Jesus said the thief only comes for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So then, if something is already here, he can't destroy it. But he's going to attack it. And if you believe that he's now powerful enough to destroy it, then you didn't hear what God said. He said, as long as, maybe once the earth is obliterated, maybe things happen differently. But as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. See? That tells me that God is interested in my future just as much as he's interested in my past. As the earth remains. See? I give you answers out of whatever situation you face. Ask the simple question. Is the earth still here? Then as long as the earth is still here, I can plant seed that I know is going to be fruitful. I can do that. In the spirit and in the natural, I can do that. Because the seed was given to me. See? So I get that some people, you know, that we've cut out to be friends, you know, cut out to be friends. So these are some of the things that we just really have to begin to reconcile in our own hearts, see, in our own minds. Everything works by the principle of seed time and harvest in the kingdom, in the earth, okay? Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 1, you looked at that last time, again, these are just references. Place that you can hang your hat on, okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, tells us that he's going to deal with us every day so that we'll be able to enjoy what he wants us to enjoy. It says, God, at sundry times and in divers manners, in times past, unto us by unto the fathers by the prophets. And that was good. He did do that. So he says, but you know what the understanding of the word but is, don't you? It is, but it is a Holy Ghost eraser, if you would. He says, in the last days, he spoke to us by the fathers. However, now, in these days, he speaks by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. How many things? All things. That would include things present, things past, wouldn't it? That would include things in the future. Appointed him heir to all things, and by whom he also made the worlds. He made the worlds through this process of words. Okay? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and who is upholding all things by the word of his power. So then we can see that God decided that he's going to use Jesus to establish what needs to be established, and he's going to keep talking to us by Jesus. Is that what he said? Okay. And then he said that once the word has been spoken, Jesus is not troubled by it. Because he said after he spoke, then he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. But after this man had offered once, and now I'm going to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God, the right hand of majesty on high, and he had expectation from there, expecting that his enemies should become his footstool. But don't despair, because then he says, now we see Jesus sitting at the right hand, expecting that his enemies should be made his footstool. God did not require Jesus to go back to work, did he? It's just amazing how we allow things to just slip and we don't even know we're supposed to be partaking that day after day. let the transfer of the grace be given to us. He was the expressed image. See? And he's upholding all things by the word of his power. I just love that. That this is the way he's going to cause it to become effectual. This is how it's going to work. So then if I don't know his word, and I don't mean I have the ability to recite his word. The word know also means to become intimate with. Adam knew his wife, Eve. He became intimate with her. See? So God wants us to know him, to live by what he said, because he's already taken the time to prove his word seven different ways. See? Let's let the word talk to us. He's talking to us in these days. Okay? This man, verse chapter 10, verse 12, after he offered one sacrifice forever for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God from henceforth expecting. So when the word is released, is there any expectation? Jesus was sitting in the promise, expecting and empowering the word of the promise to be fulfilled. Because he works with us, confirming his word with signs following. The word that he spoke is not going to fall to the ground. See? He's going to work that word until it becomes so real, so big. And I didn't say so real from the aspect that it wasn't real before. No, it became tangible, the Bible says. We beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, and the word became flesh. And then that word that became tangible, that word that became real to us, dwelt among us. Okay. That word lived among us. Jesus said, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, then you can ask what you will. The word lived with us. I lived with my older brother. And one of the things that came along with being a brother is that if there was anybody in the city of Gary, Indiana, that would mess with me, they knew that my brother was going to come and settle the score. That's the way they learned that, because my father told my brother to protect his sisters. I had four sisters. And so Melvin was the oldest, and it became his responsibility to protect his sisters. Two of his sisters, the ones that were closest to him in age, they had come to the place where they could be suitable for marriage, suitable for dating, okay? The process of life things. And so one of my sisters was not interested in one of the suitors. And so my brother just happened to be, you know, in the neighborhood around that time. And so my sister was trying to get away from this particular suitor. And she was, you know, saying, no, I don't want to be bothered. I'm, you know, go on. And so then he didn't want to stop pursuing. So he grabbed my sister and pulled my sister back to him. Well, my brother just saw that move. And since she had already said no, then now kicks in the protection. So my brother just went lit into the guy, just whooping up on him, just didn't care, because he had a choice. In his thinking, he had a choice. I could either let this go on and my sister be subdued by somebody else, or I can subdue the thing that's coming against my sister. Because when I get home, if she was subdued by somebody else, my dad ain't going to get mad at them. He's going to get mad at me. And so my brother went to tan in to that dude. Okay? So now, that was good from his position. Wasn't too good for my sister's position, because nobody would talk to them anymore, because they going to say, well, Melvin's going to come get us. And so, you know, they had to work that thing out there. But that reputation got greater and greater in the city. One day I was coming home from school. I guess maybe I was under the sixth grade because it happened at the elementary school that I was at. And so, you know how people in the way things went this day, they would say things to you like, okay, school is going to end. I can't do nothing now because I'm going to get in trouble. But the last day of school, I'm going to kick your butt. And so then, you know, you kind of don't know what to do with that information, but, you know, what it is. Because I was not a fighter. I never have been a fighter like that. But you back a person into a corner, they're going to have to fight. So here we are. This is the last day of school. We're on our way home, as our normal routine was, is everybody would walk from the school to the house and in groups and all the way from the school to exactly one block away from my house. Man, I'm going to kick your butt, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just trying to get to my house, okay? Because I don't want to do this. But when we got to the block, something got to happen now or it ain't going to happen. So he got to, come on, man, let's go, pushing me and stuff. So I figured, well, this is it. We're going to fight. And so somebody in the crowd, now, again, I am not a fighter, but somebody in the crowd, while we circling each other, getting ready for the, you know, the ordeal to happen, somebody said, hey, ain't you Melvin Lee, brother? And so I didn't care. I wasn't thinking about it. I said, yeah. As soon as I said, yeah, the guy that was mad at me for the whole year, okay, he heard that I was Melvin Lee, brother. He dropped his hand, said, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you, man. Please, let's just squash this right here. Well, it was okay with me because I didn't want to fight no way. But the thing that made it good is because it was already set up for what my brother had done, that you can't hurt me. Well, Jesus has already set up your life the same way. You can't be hurt. You can't be harmed. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. These principles worked in my life, even though I did not understand them. I didn't know that I could depend on my brother to fight my fights for me before I was going to get hit. I was standing there preparing to get hit. And the reputation of my older brother went before me. The favor that came because of my older brother went before me. Well, the same thing is available. That's the transfer of grace. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord thy God with thee. He apologized in front of the crowd that he had already whipped up into a frenzy so that we could have this fight. And he apologized to me, dropped his hand and said, man, I'm sorry. See? Why don't we begin to understand what it is Jesus has done and how this transfer of grace is supposed to happen? He's upholding all things by the word of his power. After he had offered for once sins forever, he is set down at the right hand of God, henceforth, from now on, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. See, Jesus is working with me, confirming his word over me. I'm sure there were, I know my grandmother was praying for me that I would always be safe and make the right decisions. My mom and daddy were praying that I would be okay and always be able to come back to the house uninjured. God was working over the situation, taking that praise, that prayer, and making it effective for the transfer of the grace. So we see that Jesus works with us, and he upholds the promise with prayer and praise. In prayer, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's interested in me when I'm not even interested in me. I hope you got that. Before I knew to do better, he was working all things together. See? When we wake up, then we get to enjoy what he was working on. If you are an artist, then as you start painting, sometimes it might not look like nothing. But if you are patient and wait for it, then you'll see the glory of the painting come forth. See, but a lot of times what we do is we give up on the process, thinking that God is not doing anything when he's doing something all the time. See? He's working the thing for your good. Okay? So we see that Jesus does this because he's a high priest that makes intercession. It's one of the things the priest does. And the priest also gives praise offerings unto the Lord. So when I don't even know how to praise, Jesus, as my high priest, works with my life and takes my position that should be offering praise, and he, as my high priest, offers praise for me unto the Lord. I like the way God does stuff. It's just so connected to my victory. See? You can see that the high priest has the responsibility to give praise in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 2. See? He ever lives to make intercession. So then he's going to be praying for me, but he's going to offer up praise for me to the Lord. See? So I'm going to have prayer and praise for my high priest. I'm also going to have, according to this scripture, turn to Hebrews chapter 7, just so that you can see it. You might want to underline it. 7:24-27. It says, but this man, talking about Jesus, because he continueth forever. So this is not going to be something that's transferred to from one high priest to another. Jesus, since he ever lives, he's unchangeable. He continues with an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, because of this, he's also able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest who became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven, who needeth not daily, as the high priest before had to offer up every day, first for his sins and then for the people's sins, this Jesus did once when he offered himself. So we see that our high priest is responsible for prayer and praise, salvation to the uttermost. I love that. He's able to save to the utter. There is nothing that faces you that his salvation plan does not work for your good. Not one place. See? Because he's able to save to the uttermost. See? And he says that this salvation is because they came to God by him. You started the process right. There is no other name given among men that they must be saved thereby. So then that name gave you access. And since we bowed down and used the name of Jesus, we came to God through that door that Jesus is. See? And he says, because of that, you're going to have deliverance, salvation. That's what it means. To the uttermost. So that means, I don't care how bad you think you are, how bad you used to be, does not matter. God says Jesus can save to the uttermost. He knows no limits or no restraint. He's able to deliver by many or by few. See? So because that's what's in his heart. And as our high priest, he takes what's in his heart. Thank you, sir. He takes what's in his heart and lets that be a praise to God. He didn't take what's in my heart and get that to God. He's going to have that restored and renewed. But because our God demands sacrifice, obedience, praise, then Jesus makes sure that he gives it to us on our behalf. He gives it to God on our behalf. And he says, not only this, look at this, just so that you can see it. This is an eternal intercession. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So those are some of the functions that you can see in Hebrews chapter 7:24-27 that the high priest executes. And we are the ones that received of his fullness. Grace for grace. You got to remember that when John the Baptist was making this statement, it was a prophetic statement. At that time, you could like technically, literally count the people that were saved. They had gone through what we refer to as a figure of baptism, but they weren't yet saved. Why? Because there is no blood yet spilled. Because in order to have this kind of deliverance, there had to be blood. And his blood had not been shed on the cross. See? So the apostle and John the Baptist, the apostle John, and as they knew him then, just simply John the Baptist, was living out his calling as a prophet. We have all received grace for grace. In St. John chapter 1, verses 11 through 16, it says this. You can hear the prophecy that John was speaking of. And as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but they were all born of God. And this, the word, was then made flesh, tangible, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and it was full of grace and truth. I love, he said, that it was full of grace and truth. That means that any way, any place you separate him, what you're going to end up with is grace and truth. If there was a prick on his finger, you would, what would come out of that thing that he made, a cut incision on his flesh, what would come out would be grace and truth. If he scrubbed his knee on the ground, what would come out would be grace and truth. See? So did God cause John to be able to prophesy that so that we can start looking for, have an expectation of the grace of God? That's the place of transfer. So now we see that he's given us more than what we just had. He's given us prayer and praise because he's a high priest. He's given us salvation to the uttermost because we came through the right door. He's given us eternal intercession, ever lives to make this. He's given us the power to become sons. And he's given us grace and truth. That's what the word of his power does. It's actively participating in the transfer of grace through praise. When we allow the praise to be transferred with our lips and our lives, we get to enjoy what he said. See? Don't you remember? Let's go to Psalms 49. Psalms 149, excuse me. Psalms 149. Verses 6. You're going to have to back up. Okay. Psalms 149. You know what he says in Psalms 150. We're going to go read to it because it was not done in chapter and verse. That's for study purposes. But let's look at Psalms 149, verses 6 and 7. And I'm gonna go all the way down there. We're just going to go to 150. He says that we should let the high praises of God be in our mouths, and we should have a two-edged sword in their hand. So the high praises of God in our mouth effectively activates the two-edged sword that's in your hand. So then, again, I said you can't complain and praise at the same time. You cannot condemn and praise at the same time either. Okay? If you're going to spend your time condemning the faults of others, then you're not letting the praise, the high praise of God, be in your mouth. So then whatever's in your hand is now a useless weapon, because the praise goes first. Okay? I was on a call earlier this evening, and we were just kind of remembering that Jesus said that we are those that who have given the power to bind and loose. He didn't say to bind only. He said to bind and loose. When you bind, there has to be balance. You're not supposed to just bind. Supposed to bind and loose. Sometimes the people that are under your sphere of responsibility, all they hear you do is complain, and you don't fill them with the love of God. You don't cause them to invoke the love of God, which has already been shed abroad in their heart. You leave them at the point of misery, because they have not been able to do the thing that you've asked them to do, believe for them to do. That's because we were too busy only binding. I mean, you can hear it in the prayers. It's just like you just, I bind this, I bind that, and I have no problem with that. But while you're binding, Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind is bound. Whatsoever you loose is loose. It's in the same sentence construct. See? So you can pray for your enemies from that position. You're not found to be praying against your enemies. Did not Jesus tell us that we're supposed to pray for those that despitefully use us, pray for those that persecute? We're supposed to pray for them? Why? Because I have the ability to stop it, bind, and then fill the atmosphere around them with something else. Fill the atmosphere around me with something else. I overcome the evil with the good. So then we go through this process, and we'll see. He says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands. Why you got this sword? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments to all the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with iron, fetters of iron. It says you can stop this flow by the people that are in authority, the spirits that are in authority above what I see. That's why it's a two-edged sword. It cuts on the way in and out. It separates on the way in and out. It disannuls covenants that you set up with those that oppose God. Oh, yeah, we've done it. Haven't you found yourself talking about, let's go to the top, talking about the president, a man you've never met? And God doesn't want you talking about him. He wants you to pray for him. Pray that the eyes of his understanding would be enlightened. Bless and curse not. You say you love. Well, love covers a multitude of sins. So how could you say you are being picked on when love covers that? Does not take into account a wrong suffered. See, I mean, these are the scriptures we have to open up and live in them. That's our badge of honor, if you would. A sacrifice, a life that is a sacrificial life, is an honor to God. See? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments to the people, to bind their kings with chains and the nobles with fetters, to execute upon them the judgment that is written, This is an honor that the saints have. Okay. Notice he didn't say this is a privilege that the saints have. He said this is an honor that the saints have. So then if it starts off as an honor, it should then end up honorable, shouldn't it? If it starts as an honor, it should end up honorable. If it ends up as a looking for pity because I needed to do that because they was always attacking me. You didn't understand scripture. He said that I'm supposed to cast all of my care over on him. Okay? He's wanting me to state this exchange that happens when praise releases the power. Praise releases the grace. Then he says, so praise the Lord. Praise him, the God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with the string instruments. Praise him with the and organs. Praise him upon the loud sounding cymbals and on the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If I don't have the high praise of God in my mouth, then I can forget all of the things that he wants to do in my life. All of the release of, see, all of these things that he said, that praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. He didn't say praise him with the trumpet, did he? He said praise him with the sound of the trumpet. What is the sound of the trumpet? The sound of music. The sound of victory. That's the sound of the trumpet. The people that are trained from the sound of the trumpet, they know when it's time to have battle. They know when it's time, because of the sound of the trumpet, they know when it's time to stop advancing, to hold the ground, because the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. So you'll be able to hear the sound of holding the land. So we have to position ourselves from that place. Have we released the sound of victory? You remember 2 Kings, when Elijah was training Elisha, he told him, he said this, he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Did he say, I hear a storm coming? No, he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear supply that's on the way. I hear victory that has already come. See? I don't hear the sound of the battle or the struggle. I hear the sound of the victory. Is that what we have trained our ears to hear? Or are our ears accustomed to hearing the sound of complaint, the sound of murmuring? In Psalms 81:10, it says, open your mouth and I'll fill it with praise. I mean, have we come to the place where the exchange happened? That I am lending my body, I am lending my members unto righteousness. I'm not going to even let the words of hurt and disappointment, I'm not going to even let them come out of my mouth. You will hear the sound of the trumpet. See? And then he brought it down to, now, once you know what this is, live for it. Let everything that hath breath, let this be your motivation. So when we allow the praise to be transferred with both our lips and our lives. Then the place of the transfer happens to those that hear it around us. Because the ones around us, they are in a captive audience, aren't they? They're there by invitation and association. See? But when our life and our voice is participating, then we hear the sound of a life that is sacrificed. We give them a reason to want to enter into this. See, if you're going to live in his promises, then you're going to have to live in his praise. If you're going to live in his promises, you have to live in his praise. Let everything that have breath. That's an operative command, isn't it? Because you have the ability to let, or you have the ability to not let. He left it right to us. He did his part, because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says that he breathed into man the breath of life. He didn't just breathe into man life, did he? Come on, so you can see that. He breathed into man the breath of life. If man wants to live in a below standard style, he can do that. But he has the breath of life already in him. Did you see that? See? And Jesus, after man's sin, Jesus came back and he did the same thing God did. He breathed on them and told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He gave them again the breath of life. And he did it by his word. It was not just the function of breath that did it. He told him, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Man is supposed to live by every word that proceeds. That would be an active word, wouldn't it? See? So since he's taking the time to give you the life, to breathe the breath of life in you, then we have the responsibility of allowing that breath to work through us. See? Because in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, part 8, it says that for in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. See, that's the transfer of grace right there. And the transfer of grace is all-encompassing. In him we live, in him we breathe, in him we have our being. See? He needs that grace to be on you and in you. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, then they experienced the coming up on. Because really, the way we are designed is to function from the inside out. So it comes up and then comes up on. If it's not coming up to get up on, then we have a trouble, because now we're receiving our information from the outside rather than from the inside. And God made things in his universe to live from the inside out. You have never one time seen a bird in Macy's trying to get the look of the day, because the bird's feathers come from the inside. He is clothed from the inside. Man was originally clothed from the inside, because the breath of life released glory on the man. He didn't even know that he was naked. The glory covered the man. God says to us, he wants to crown us with glory and honor. See? And what do we want to do? We want to go about and alter and, if possible, remove the glory that comes from the inside. And we've convinced ourselves that we must look better then keep up with the Joneses, if you would. And when you keep up with the Joneses, you can only look at the outside. Jesus told Paul to write that he wants it to be adorned with a meek and quiet spirit. To be adorned, that means that these are the things that you wear out to be seen. But if I'm prideful and trying to make a reputation for myself, we miss the whole thing. See? We would learn to live life by design and not by default. We need to live life by design and not by default. This grace that comes up on us, this grace that we're supposed to, for fullness, receive grace for grace. Notice he said that we're taking of his fullness and we will receive grace for grace. We're not exchanging grace for pain. Amen. We're not exchanging grace for sin. Because to miss them, to be without a portion, that's the first definition of missing the mark, sinning. It's to be without a portion. So then when I am functioning in life, I should have a portion that the grace of God has given me that will give me the victory. But if I'm living without that portion, then I don't have that grace to cover that situation. See? The grace of God is supposed to lead us, follow us, surround us, and support us. Takes us back to the place of rest. Adam was given a job, and then God brought the animals to Adam to see what he would name them. We should have the same thought process, that the grace that comes up on me will supply the need for me. See, grace is not to cover my mistakes. That's one of the things I used to think. I used to think that grace was just there so that I could have my mistakes covered, so that God wouldn't see my mistake. God was looking at your heart all the time. So how is he not going to see your mistake? It came out of your heart. That's where the issues of life come from. So he wasn't just, when you told God about this particular sin, that was not when he found out about it. He found out when the flow of his grace was not apparent to cover whatever was in front of you. You can hear the apostle almost pray that in every one of the beginnings of the books that he wrote to the church and at the end of the books. He say, grace and peace be unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now the God of all, see, he was always leading us to the place where we have a better understanding of grace. And not one time was that grace for my mistake. See? The grace of God, the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, it says the grace of God has appeared unto all men because he wants to teach you how to live in this present world. See, the grace was not to cover my mistakes. I don't know. You raise your hand. You do that with yourself so you know if that's the way you understood it, that grace was for my mistakes. No, grace was for your growth. See? Because the grace of God has appeared unto all men, and it teaches us. See? I mean, when we begin to probe into the spirit, then we'll begin to receive the power to become son. When grace is active correctly, it becomes personal because it leads us. It follows us. Surely, not maybe, surely, goodness and mercy will do what? Follow me all the days of my life. Paul says, I am what I am because of and by the grace of God. That means that the structure in place, the process is in place of the grace leading me out of frustrations and fears, leading me unto victory. Grace leads us, follows us, surrounds us, and supports us. When that is the motivation that I function from, then it becomes personal. And the statement that I love now is that if I make the spiritual things that I want to have become active in my life, if it's personal, then it's possible. If it's for somebody else and not for me, that's not personal, is it? Well, all the preachers can get that. No, 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 no. It has to be personal, because when it's personal, now it becomes possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can get things done. Why? Because it's personal now. When it's personal, it's possible. When it's personal, I live in it. It lives in me. It's personal. So if you are quoting scripture and you haven't made it personal, that's why it hasn't been possible for you. Because until it's personal, it will not be possible. If it's impersonal, it will be impossible. You're the one that affects the change. When you're the one that is now protecting the grace of God, come on, y'all. The Bible tells us that we are not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit. But if it's not personal to me that I protect the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace, then if I don't protect that, it's not personal. And now, because it's not personal, it's not possible. I hope you're getting this. See, I have to make this relationship personal. That means I become responsible for my side of it. Well, God knows my heart. He's full of grace. Yeah, and you did not make it personal yet. You made it an excuse not to do it rather than an empowerment to do it. See, when it's personal, then the empowerment, Jesus gave us the power to become sons. See, when it's personal, the empowerment of the word now goes before me. Now my praise is automatic, because now I can do a thing through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not begging now. I am giving testimony that the things that I do are done by God. That's what happened with Jesus. It says that the works that he did, it was understood that his works were wrought in God, because it was personal. Our Father, it was personal. When it's personal, it becomes possible. If it's still impersonal, it is always impossible. See? Hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. It's personal, isn't it? See? It should always be about you and the God in you. See, we want God to just do it, just do the magic brain, wave your magic wand kind of thing, instead of us developing, because when it's personal, it's possible. If it's impersonal, then it is impossible. See? They did this, so I did that. That's not personal. Doesn't matter what you, this is personal. This is the way we get to personal. Pray for those that despitefully use you. That's personal, isn't it? See? Now, when it's personal, it becomes possible. It becomes easy. See? It becomes a pleasure. It becomes an honor. But if it's not personal, then it's not going to be possible. Because you are distracted from your focus. And because you're distracted from your purpose, then there's nothing that's good that's working. Didn't say there's nothing that's good that's not in you, but it's not working. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works. inside of us. So when you see someone where favor is just flowing, it's because they decided to make it personal. Making it personal in this regard does not mean that I'm the one that's got to get my revenge. I made it personal so that I will not offend the spirit of grace. Jesus made it personal. I only do those things that I see my Father do. I only do what I hear him say. It was personal to him. I must be about my Father's business. He wasn't about his business. He made it personal. The relationship that he was protecting was the one between the Father and him, period. Didn't matter what anybody else did. See? When you get to that place, then you'll find, yes, sir, you'll find a place to hide and be safe. Did he not say the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous people should be found inside it? That's where they're safe? Because they are the ones that have made it personal. Then my place of safety is in him. I'm found in him, not having my own righteousness. I'm found there. That becomes my address, if you would. You can find me right here. I'm found in him, not having my own righteousness. And then when they were looking for him, one time it says that Jesus hid himself going through the midst of them. Help me out. How are you going to hide yourself going through the midst? If I'm going to be hiding myself, I'm going away from them. But because he was in that strong tower, he didn't have to worry about it. It says that the righteous go into the tower, and now safety is easy to be accomplished. We've got to grow up a little bit in how we approach the Word of God, how we choose to utilize the Word of God. This grace should lead us. It should follow us. It should surround us. It should support us. So that means that the things that you say, you're going to have to be able to allow God to support what you just said, to honor it. The prophet Samuel, the Bible says about him that God would not let his words fall to the ground. Would not let any of his words fall to the ground. He made it personal. See? Because it's personal, then it becomes possible. If it's impersonal, that usually means that pride is in the way. And so since pride is in the way, God resists the proud. It becomes impossible now. Let's make these applications personal. See? David said, thy word have I hid in my heart so that I will not come up short. Listen to Mark. Didn't say nothing about the people that's all jacked up and messing with me. He said, no, I decided that I'm going to just hide your word in my heart. And don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Whatever a man makes personal, he puts it in a secret place. And when you put it in a secret place, God will then reward you openly or show his protection to all of your haters. The choice is yours. Your way or God's way. Make it personal between you and him and ignore the situation, circumstances, and attacks that's going to come, and he'll protect you. But you make it impersonal, and it becomes impossible. Your way. Of God's way. Father, we thank you for sharing your word with us, for sharing life with us, so that we can then enjoy rather than endure. Thank you, Father, for the direction that's necessary for us to turn it all around so we can give the glory and the honor that's due your name, that we would then be those that praise out of a pure heart, so you can transfer the grace and the power needed for every situation. Now unto you, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can dare ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the power that causes us to be made sons. Thank you, Father, for these opportunities you keep presenting to us so that we will grow up in you in all things. We submit it to you now, it's done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, as I said before, at the end of the ministry, we will give you an opportunity to ask questions or give comments about the ministry tonight. So I'll go ahead and start that process. Area code 708-475-2693. 708-475-2693. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about tonight's ministry? 708-475-2693. You have the mic. Any questions or comments? All right, we'll go to area code 678-521-0933. You have the mic. Any questions or comments? All right. And again, I ask for this because they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. If you have something that, if it's nothing, but it was a blessing, all right, good, that's amen. You still overcome. What you might have overcome, I don't necessarily know. But you become strengthened in that space. So I'm just giving you an opportunity to take advantage of that. I'm not trying to put you on Front Street. I'm just, if this is what did you like, what did you learn? This is part of the lapse process that my pastor has began to offer to the body of Christ. Because we think that special circumstances give me the right to say something. No, just being a part of the body gives you that right. Area code 708-475-2693. 708-475-2693. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry today? 708-475-2693. All right. Area code 310-213-1483. 310-213-1483. Any questions or comments about tonight's ministry? You have the mic. Go ahead.
Yes. God bless you, Pastor Steve Lee. I thank God, praise God for your ministry. And I'm calling from California. And one scripture that you mentioned tonight in Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:19, when you said that that the Lord, that Yahweh was with Samuel, he didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. So I just want to say, brother, Pastor Steve, that your words during COVID season have not fallen to the ground, that you are enriching the body of Christ. You have enriched my life. And I thank you, Lord, that my brother here is faithful to you, Lord. Thank you that he is strengthening the brethren. I thank you that he speaks the oracles of God. I thank you, Lord, that the words of the Spirit of life are being manifested through my brother's ministry. I thank you that he is feeding your flock. I thank you that he is bringing nourishment to us and strengthening your body globally. So, brother, I just want to say that the anointing of the Holy Spirit has been all over your ministry during these last 2 years, that even though it's been a trying time for everyone on earth, that God has used you to nourish us. And in his kingdom, you are a fountain of life. And every Monday night when you preach, You mentioned something else earlier this evening, that you said that the Word of God is nourishment for us, that it is food. And I just want to say that we have been feasting on filet mignon through your ministry. And I just bless you, man of God. And I thank our Lord Father for raising you up. And I just ask that God will bless you and protect you and multiply his grace and love upon your life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. And that is really the only reason that I am here. I am not for self-exaltation. I'm here simply to serve so that God can be glorified. Yes, there are people that would oppose that because they are trying to validate their own existence by their own existence. And that's just going to cause frustration. If we would submit ourselves to God, that he said he would give grace to those that are humble in that position. So I'm just one that wants to see the glory of the Lord fill the whole earth the same way the waters cover the sea. That's what we're here for at livedeliverance.com. And we thank you that you were able to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to sow a seed here at Blog Talk Radio, simply go to livedeliverance.com, the website, and you'll see the donate tab, and just go ahead and obey the Lord in giving, because as you have received, it is now incumbent upon you to cause the flow not to stop, and you should then give of your natural resources to supply the things that are coming at us and against us as we go into a world that has become darkened because of their heart not being engaged at the level that it should be engaged. So, again, thank you for joining us here as we give you the Word of God unashamedly that will continue to enrich your life and cause you to be able to experience things that God has called you to, even prepared you for, so that you will be able to speak into the lives of others the glory that God has deposited on the inside of you. So until the next time we do get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next time, be blessed.